Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MSTC Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deep Modi from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to Q2 FY25 earnings conference call of MSTC Limited. From management, we have with us today Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director of Commercial, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Rai, Company Secretary. So we will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we will open the line for Q&A. I now hand over the call to Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director of Commercial. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning to all of you, and I'm really appreciate that the investors are showing keen interest in the company's activities, and you ask very pinpointed questions during these calls. So first of all, I would like to give you the key highlights that happened during the second quarter of this year. So the main highlight being that the 100% subsidiary of MSTC, that is FSNL, it is under sale. You almost have already been aware of it. The transfer is supposed to be closed within 60 days from the date of signing of SPA. The SPA was signed on 24th October 2024. Now, as per applicable Ind AS, shown as non-current asset held for sale in standalone financials, and profit shown as income from discontinued operations in consolidated financials. As far as the operational performance of MSTC is concerned, during the H1 2024-25, the company crossed INR 476.16 billion in terms of value of goods transacted through its e-commerce and marketing verticals. The financial performance standalone, the PBT stands at INR 111.50 crores in H1, vis-à-vis 158.99 crores in H1 of 2023-24. PAT during this period was 83.48 crores in comparison to 113.08 crores during 2023-24. The consolidated financial performance is PBT of 108.72 crores as against 136.40 crores in the last year, and PAT of 118.29 crores vis-à-vis 105.95 crores in the corresponding period last year. The key highlights, the major important projects that we are undertaking, that we continue to undertake since last year, are the spectrum auctions. We are managing the e-bidding portal for allocation of the spectrum. Then the coal block auctions, of course, various tranches have already been carried out, and some more events are happening. The mines and mineral block auctions are also happening, and various states from various points of time have advertised for sale of these mineral blocks. The EXIM platform that we have developed is very robust, and it is being actively used by the oil marketing companies, especially Indian Oil and ONGC Group of Companies. Then the DEEP portal, which we had started almost five, 6 years back, is a very stable portal that is being used by the DISCOMs for their PPAs. The upcoming projects that which we have very recently bagged are the important one being the FM waves radio wavelength allocation that will be done by MSTC. This will happen, and it is expected to happen in the last quarter of this year. Then we also have a contract from the Kendriya Police Kalyan Bhandar. This is actually a project given by Ministry of Home Affairs for digitization of retail operations of KPKB. This also is likely to start by the end of this year. Then the e-auction of sale of timbers from Chhattisgarh Forest Department is also a very promising venture for us. This also, the auctions are expected to start in this quarter. The listing portal for the NPA properties, which are not under the public sector banks, that is for the rural banks, private cooperative banks, and other institutes, that also is already almost ready, and it should be operational anytime soon. We are also now thinking of offering infrastructure as a service. We have been talking about it in the last year also, but now we are seeing that modules that we develop for our clients We are offering the infrastructure facility also for that. And these are available in sectors like recycling, mining, e-commerce, etc. Then we have created an ERP for the mineral sector where our presence and our activities are quite large. So we are doing a lot of pre-auction activities and post-auction activities and integrating with the databases of our clients. Now, we have also bagged a very major scrap sale agreement with BPCL, which was earlier done by some private entities, but now they have given this work to MSTC. Now, these are certain ventures which we expect will be giving us good revenue in the coming months. Thank you. Now, for the financials, I'll hand over the mic to Mr. Subrata Sarkar, my Director of Finance.
Yeah. Okay. Very good afternoon. Very good afternoon to our investors. So let me first narrate the standalone financial highlights. So for the half one of 24-25 versus half one of 23-24, the total revenue has is lesser by 18.98, say 19% from 221.29 crore to 179.27. And EBITDA is down by 28.11% from 162.41 to 116.63. PBT is down by 29.87% from 158.99 to 111.50. And PAT is down by 26.18% from 1138.08 to 83.48. Obviously, going by that trend, the EPS is also down by 26.18%. From 16.06 to 11.86. Now, in the part, segmental part, that the basic cause of the fall of the revenue that we can see is the down of the e-commerce revenue, like from 185.03 to 168.0704. In which that e-auction e-sale has down from 142.6 to 120.31. E-procurement is of course on a flatter trajectory, and other incomes are also on a flatter trajectory, and the marketing part is also on the flatter trajectory from 11.46 to 11.20. Exceptional item is 1.94, as already disclosed in the note. This is due to the payment of an provision towards payment of an old arbitration award. And with that, the PBT has gone down from 158.99 to 111.50, and PAT has gone from 113.08 to 83.48, down by 26.18%. And as a whole, in the group performance also, in the group, our 100 group comprises of our 100% subsidiary company, Ferroscrap Nigam Limited, and our 50-50 joint venture with Mahindra's MSTC Recycling Private Limited. So as this FSNL is on sale, held for sale, its revenue has not been consolidated and it has been shown as a discontinued operation. However, if we take that figure, total revenue in the group level has gone down from 202.09 to 179.27. And EBITDA has gone down from 143.22 to 116.63. And the JV share of loss from JV has, as compared to last year, it has little bit lesser, minus 3.40 to 2.78. PBT has gone down from 136.40 to 18.72. And from the continuous operation, PAT is down from 90.48 to 80.70. And from the discontinued operation, that is FSNL, is up from 15.47 to 37.58. Profit after tax from continued and discontinued operation, 105.95 last period, and this year is up to 118.29. And EPS is also up from 15.05 to 16.80. So the basic premises of increase in the good performance is the good performance by the FSNL. So and now going to the summary of the PNL in the revenue from operation, and the standalone part is down from 163.47 to 140.96, and the Other income is down from 57.82 to 38.31, mainly because of non-receipt of dividend from FSNL in this half year as compared to last half year. Employee benefit is remaining on the flatter side from 42.40 to 44.71. And total expenses, other expenses before exceptional items, is also on the flatter track from 16.47 to 15.99. Exceptional item is 1.94. Total expenses being 67.77 as compared to 62.29 of last half year. And PBT is 111.50 as compared to 158.99. And profit after tax is 83.48 as compared to 113.08. And in the consolidated part, of course, with the continuing operation, that profit has also gone up from 110.595 to 118.29. That's all from our side. Thank you. Hand over to the operator.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have first question from the line of Rakesh, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have this question regarding competition that MSPC faces from the GEM portal. Can you please share some on this?
Yeah. As far as GEM is concerned, the government has made it mandatory for the government departments as well as the PSUs to use that portal extensively for all their procurement needs. But then we need to see that GEM offers very standard kind of a portal where, you know, things are, you know, the model is very standardized. So wherever the customer has a requirement of a different kind of procurement methodology, like, you know, standard items, products and may be available in GEM, but there are certain, you know, products and services that are not available in GEM as of now. So those clients are the ones that we are targeting. And we have made some foray. We are earning something. Of course, this has made a dent in our earnings, e-procurement earnings. But then we do have a market. It's not that, that we have stopped our e-procurement services completely.
Madam, my question was regarding the auctioning. I saw a lot of government departments auction on the GEM portal. So isn't the GEM portal directly in competition with MSTC?
Yeah, it is. But there again, you know, GEM doesn't have all the kinds of features that we have been. We are giving an end-to-end kind of a service, and GEM is more like a platform service. So for the, you know, low-value items, yes, definitely GEM will be more useful. But then when you have to sell high-end or high-value items or scrap, which the PSUs have in a large numbers, there definitely they are looking for more of advisory role regarding the lotting, then the hazardous waste, the statutory compliance requirement, the terms and conditions, the payment terms, and actually, you know, realizing the contract management, everything is still there. So our scrap business has in fact been more or less stable. In fact, it should have gone up had the prices of scrap not gone down since last year. But the volumes are more or less stable. So I wouldn't say that, you know, GEM is not a threat, maybe in future, definitely. But as on date, we are still able to hold our forte as far as scrap auctions are concerned.
Madam, what if tomorrow there is a mandate from the government, like as far as procurement is concerned, the government mandated that all the purchases will have to be done through the GEM only. So if they come out with such a mandate, even for selling their scrap, that everything has to be done through GEM only, then what happens to MSTC?
Yeah, so this mandate for procurement through GEM only has been there for more than 2-3 years now. In spite of it, most of the organizations are finding it difficult to procure everything through GeM. So it is not that GeM is the only platform that is to be used by these organizations. Wherever materials or products or standard things cannot be done, definitely there is a market for it, and we are the solution for that. We are the platform for that. So we do have a market. We have a very niche kind of a service as far as auction is concerned or even procurement is concerned. So that is something that we wish to enlarge, not just to the government clients, but to the private sector also.
And madam, in this quarter, what portion of the revenues from the scrap business has come from the private sector?
See, it has been more or less stable at around 10 to 12% of the total revenue.
Okay. Madam, my second question is, how does the company plan to utilize the sale proceeds of FSNL?
Yeah, let me respond, sir. It has, the deal has to be closed within 60 business days from 24th of October. So we hope around 15th, it will be done. It comes to around 15th of Jan. So we will have a kind of internal management meeting, and then there will be, a board meeting to decide on that utilization of the proceeds, because one of the parts will be taken away by the government as an advance tax, right? So net of capital gains, of course, there will be a deliberation how to utilize the thing. So we will come up with that solution on that point of time. Right now, we are more concentrating on the smooth transaction that happens, that the transaction happens in a smooth and steady manner. So we are concentrating on that particular thing. Obviously, it will be known to you without giving any kind of intimation to the being a listed company. It will not be done. So the thought process will be shared to you as and when it is approved by our management, like the board, our board. Right, sir?
Got it, sir. Sir, one last question was regarding the updates on the new businesses that the company has just stated in its investors presentation. So it is written that you have signed a contract with BPCL. So now, does it mean that it's like an exclusive contract for all BPCL activities taking place throughout the country?
BPCL scrap material, yes. The marketing division of BPCL, it is exclusive contract. They will not be selling it directly or through any other service provider. It will be only through MSTC's portal. And for refinery, we already have an agreement for the past many years. So that business will continue.
Okay. And so what is the potential of this marketing business, madam?
Marketing business means you are talking of trading business of MSTC?
No. But the marketing that you just mentioned, that the marketing division of BPCL...
Volumes are pretty high. I mean, till the time it actually matures, it's a little too early to talk about the volumes that we will be transacting through this portal. Maybe by the end of this year, we will get to know what is the potential. But we thought it is substantial compared to our other clients, small time clients. So definitely it will be in the range of, if not 100 crores, it must be somewhere close to that.
100 crores of scrap value.
Scrap value, yeah.
Okay, and MSTC will end up earning like a percentage or two on the sale value, right?
It is successfully sold because the scrap prices are going down, so we will have to see the market conditions. So we are charging only when the material is successfully sold. So that is why I'm saying it is a little too early to estimate as to what the exact transaction value will be.
Okay. The second was regarding the listing portal that you mentioned for NTAs of cooperative banks, private banks, etc. What's the potential, madam? Can you shed some light?
Yeah, actually, we were having a platform for all the NPAs of the public sector banks, but now they have developed something in-house. PSB Alliance has developed. And there are two parts to it. One is the bidding platform and one is the listing platform. So we were earlier also having only the bidding platform, and the listing platform was maintained by the PSBs themselves, the IBA themselves. So now we have developed this listing platform also so that it is one integrated service. So this we are now going to offer to all the private sector banks, the rural banks and the cooperatives and all, and we have already approached many of them. And this is not going to be exclusively used by these banks. They will have other service providers also. So this potential is vast because all the NPAs are not only with the public sector banks. NPA is a problem that is faced by all kinds of banks. And this may be used by other financial institutions also. So going forward, this has a huge potential. But then first, it is just at a very nascent stage because as on date, the rural banks, the cooperative banks, they are don't have a systemic way of disposing of the NPAs. So we will have to educate, onboard them, and then handhold them to do these transactions in our portal. In future, definitely, it has very good potential.
So how is it that they're currently doing it, madam? The rural banks or maybe the cooperative banks?
It's all through, you know, some quotation being taken over phone or by fax or, you know, exchanges or just approaching a few clients and then, you know, selling it off. It is not through a standardized procedure the way public sector banks were doing.
Okay.
So we are creating a market, actually.
And is there any other player, madam?
Yeah.
Is there any other player who's doing something similar?
See, the public sector banks have developed their own portal. So they are again a competition in this area because once they develop something for the public sector banks, then it can be used by any bank, right?
Yes.
So that is a threat. But then we are hopeful that as far as bidding platform is concerned, we are very confident that, you know, our methodologies and the processes are extremely competent and transparent. So we are convinced that, you know, our platform will be superior to any other platform.
Okay, even as compared to the PSB Alliance platform?
Yes. That has just started. So we'll have to wait and watch how it does.
Oh, sorry. I do have a few more questions, but I'll get back in the line. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Anand from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. I just have a question. So we've seen two consecutive quarters of degrowth. And this is mainly in our core vertical, the e-commerce vertical. Now, the JV with Mahindra doesn't seem to contribute a lot. Looking at it directionally, like say 3 to 4 quarters, what can we expect, especially now that we've lost Coal India as a client? Can you throw some light directionally of how this company is planning to, you know, grow the sales, or where are we looking at? I think last quarter there was some talk about data center and recycling. So just directionally, ma'am, I just want an idea of where this company is heading in the next 3 to 4 quarters.
Yes, our e-commerce revenues have been more or less flat or probably slightly on the lower side. There's a few contributing factors to that. First being the market itself, especially for scrap, has actually fallen compared to last year. So since we charge a percentage of the value, definitely that affects our earnings also. Second thing is the loss of business from the IBAPI portal that we were just talking about, the public sector banks and the Coal India option. As far as the Coal India business is concerned, we are in touch with them, and we have also approached other clients who are, who will be selling some commercially mined coal through our platform. So those are some things that we are doing, and the revenues definitely will take at least another quarter or so to actually come in. As far as the property portal is concerned, more or less we are ready with that, and I just explained that we will be, you know, first reaching out to all the banks, especially the rural cooperative and you know, private sector banks. They have large volumes of not just NPAs, even other assets. So that is something we are getting. So this is a kind of stage in which we are introspecting and seeing how to take the giant leap forward. So as far as the new business is concerned, one is the infrastructure as a service or the data center that we are talking about. That we are planning to set up in the next financial year because we are already on the job. But then for that to actually be offered as a service, we are still working on the various revenue models and the services that we can offer. So this is actually a transition phase, so maybe it will take another quarter or so to actually see the revenues coming in. So I am very positive that yes, these areas do have some good potential for future. As of now, maybe it is a little flatter, so maybe we'll have to keep some patience for at least a quarter or so.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Miraj from Aryan Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon to the management. Just have a couple of questions. Firstly, I wanted to understand the BPCL order that we received. Over here, we have, as you said, exclusive rights for the scrap sale. Now, in this, we'll be charging separately for the marketing and if the scrap is sold as well, right? So there will be two different revenue streams over here.
No, no. Marketing division of BPCL. We are not doing any marketing for them. This is the marketing division of BPCL which has signed the contract with us. Actually, they have large volumes of, the D-shaped cylinders, valves and regulators that are frequently auctioned into the market. Till this time, they were either doing it directly or they were using the services of some private player. But now they have seen that, there is some, advantage in using the MSTC's portal. So after a long time, actually, we were able to convince them and get this order. So this, the auctions will actually start from this quarter onwards, that is the Q3 onwards. So the revenues will probably, we will be able to see from Q4 onwards because auction also has a lead time of about a couple of months. So, but this has a good potential, and for BPCL, we were offering other services for their refinery division. We have already been, giving the scrap auction services. Apart from that, they are also, using our platforms for their various requirements for selection of LPG dealership or the petrol pump draws and all those things. So this was just an extension, and the scrap auctions, of course, forms a very bulk of their, the activities, especially in the e-commerce services are concerned.
Understood. So the scrap basically being valves and cylinders over here and other products as well, which you spoke of. The figure, ma'am, that you quoted earlier of 100 crores, that would be an annual figure, right? Annual scrap value, which...
It is per annum. It is per annum.
Per annum. Okay, perfect. Secondly, ma'am, regarding the public sector banks, which you were just talking about, that they also have their own portal. There was some connection issue in my line. What I heard was that we've added the possibility of bidding over here in our portal now. Is that right?
No, no. We are not doing the bidding in our portal now. Earlier, that was the case when the listing portal was with the Indian Bank Association. Now, a comprehensive portal has been developed by PSB Alliance, and they've been mandated to use that. Otherwise, they were very happy with our services. It was just that IBA and the government decided to shift to that portal because they are interested in, offering financial services and valuation services. So they wanted one comprehensive portal, which they have developed in-house.
Understood. So, ma'am, what have we changed in our portal over here? I think you were explaining something that we've added in our portal as well.
Actually, there are two parts as far as the NPAs are concerned. One is where, put up all the properties that are available for sale, what has been declared as NPA. Then somebody can actually look at those properties, have a 360-degree view of that location, search, and there are some, access given to the bank officials for doing some transactions, putting up notifications, releasing advertisements, and so on and so forth. Now, this data used to come to our platform for the bidding, the actual bidding portion. And then again, the data used to go back to that portal for their further processing of the transaction. Now, this was a listing portal that was managed directly by the banks, and our platform was used only for the bidding. Now, what I was trying to explain was we have developed this listing portal also so that, you know, these small term banks like rural banks or, you know, some cooperative banks, they don't have access to the listing portal of the public sector banks. So they used to have, you know, advertisements and taking quotations offline, and that's the way they were selling their NPAs. Now, once we offer a comprehensive solution of a listing portal as well as a bidding portal, I see a lot of, you know, potential for these banks to come to our foray, use our platform, and it is a win-win situation for both of us.
Perfect, perfect. Understood. And ma'am, the GEM portal that you were talking about in the start, one of the participants had asked, it's owned by the government only, right? Or is it privately owned?
It is only for, it is owned by government. It is under the Ministry of Commerce. And this has been mandated to be used by the government departments and the PSUs.
Okay, perfect. So, but there can be talks of improving the offerings on that portal as well, right?
Yeah, that's quite possible. But see, the way idea or the very purpose of creating that was for common goods and services, right? So across right. various sectors, across various institutions, whatever procurements are common, that will happen through that portal only. But what we specialize in is actually a customized solution, a more of an advisory solution. Like as I was explaining regarding the auction services, what we do is my client is supposed to just give me the list of material that is to be auctioned off. We do all the due diligence, we finalize the terms, we actually do the lotting, we tell them what are the statutory compliances that are to be taken, whether it is a hazardous waste, what kind of environmental clearances, how it is to be done. Then we also share the database of, you know, what can be the market price for it. So all these services we are giving. Whereas GEM is actually just a platform where the client has to go upload the material, then do the transaction. Only bidding will happen. All the other transactions of, you know, collecting the payment and seeing that the delivery is done, all that has to be done by the client himself. So this is the difference between GEM platform and us. So that's just a platform. What we are giving is an end-to-end solution.
Understood. Our offerings are much more wide and convenient for the customers. If I can understand that.
That happening in GEM immediately because they do not have that kind of resources, because we have specialized in this area for the past more than 3 decades. So the buyer base or the kind of experience, especially for selling, you know, big plans or high value scrap, is definitely an advantage for us. And GEM is just a platform and they do not have the manpower or the kind of exposure, experience in selling this kind of material. So maybe, you know, over a period of time, they'll develop that. But in the immediate future, we don't see that as a big threat.
Understood. Okay. And any other similar discussions, any other players we are in talks with, just as you cracked the BPCL contract, ma'am?
Yeah, that is a very constant thing that is happening. BPCL was actually a slightly big ticket as far as we are concerned regarding scrap sale. Apart from that, we are in touch with many other organizations for sale of their scrap and not just limit ourselves to the government institutions or the organizations. We are now reaching out to the private sector also in a big way. So we will expand and definitely we'll see to it that we add value to the services that we give.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, we would like to remind you that you may press star and one to ask a question. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Rakesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, madam. Madam, I wanted to know how is it that private banks are currently auctioning their NPAs?
See, private banks have some private sector the platforms also, like HDFC. They have their own, you know, portal in association with some private entity. And ICICI Bank also, Axis Bank, they all have tied up with some entity, some back-end technology platform. But then the kind of, you know, the buyer base that we have developed in the past 4-5 years with the public sector bank, or the methodology, or streamlining of operations, and the transparency that we have built into the system, that gives us an edge over these private sector, you know, e-commerce service providers. So that is what we are targeting.
So are you saying that there is a possibility that one of these large banks like HDFC and ICICI could come to the platform that we have developed?
Initially, they may just give, try some of their property through a portal. If they feel that it is, they are able to get good value for the NPS, definitely they can switch over. But this is all just, as of date, the vision that we have. We are targeting these people, but what will exactly happen, whether they will actually entrust us with that business, is not known at this point of time.
Madam, my question was regarding infrastructure as a service, where you mentioned that scalable cloud-ready hardware on plug-and-play basis for IT requirements of various sectors. So could you please elaborate on this?
Actually, if you see large number of organizations, especially the small and medium companies, do not have the kind of resources for having their own server or, having access to large private sector cloud services or, data centers. So, and we are probably associated with them in some form or the other. We are already offering some kind of service to them. So for them, hosting their data, hosting their transactions, all these things, they don't need to actually, go through a whole lot of exercise to do that. What we are targeting is they can just come over to our platform. We will give our infrastructure. We have redundant capacity. We don't need to immediately, invest in that area. So that is something that we will immediately be able to take from them. So something like, a virtual data room for the small organizations. That is something that is immediately, a requirement for many organizations, and for us it can be a revenue stream. So this is the way we are thinking. These are low-hanging fruits, and going forward, definitely we will be probably thinking of having our own big data center where we can offer cloud services. In future, we do have plans for these also.
So, madam, in that case, how does the company plan to compete with the likes of big data center providers like a Cisco or a Yotta, who have like investments in hundreds of crores just in infrastructure and who have been in this business since, decades now, for example, TCS.
Yeah, actually, TCS is not exactly into infrastructure services. They are more into software services. What I'm trying to tell you here is we are in touch with large number of government organizations, especially medium and small. See, the bigger organizations have their own resources and they can probably have their own in-house data centers also for their requirements. Say, companies like ONGC, NTPC, they have invested for their requirements. Now, for smaller companies, this is not a solution or which are not especially financially very robust. For these, there is a requirement, and for them to go to a private sector cloud or a data center is not so easy, given the kind of processes, the way the government or the organizations do business. We understand them quite well. So this is a kind of tailor-made solution that we want to give to our clients who are already using our some other service.
Okay, so are you trying to say that just because the government departments cannot go to a private company offering data center services because of some government rules, they will come to MSTT?
No. I'm not saying that there are some government rules. The process is very long. Like they may have to go for quotations or tenders or, another thing is the data security. See, the kind of confidence that they have in our operation, the way we have presented ourselves or the credentials are established. They have more confidence in the kind of infrastructure or the, data security services that we can give than to a private big data center or a cloud or a private cloud. So the confidence is what we are trying to capitalize on. And this is something that we have built over 3 decades. So it's easier for us to penetrate that market than any private sector, even if it is a very huge, big organization.
And when you say that you will be marketing it to the small departments or the small organizations, can you give me an example of what could these companies be like any name? Because as far as I know, most of these government companies are so huge. As we mentioned, ONGC, NTPC, HPCL, BPCL.
the last one. There are a whole lot of, you know, medium and small companies, and I'm not targeting only the government companies. Maybe, you know, I can offer it to the MSMEs. I can offer it to the micro companies also. So that, those are, you know, areas in which I am already in touch with them. So it will be easier for them to use our services in a more holistic manner.
And these MSMEs are in the private sector, as I can understand from our
company. They are in the private sector, but then I'll be giving one solution for all their needs kind of thing.
So that means in the private domain, even though they have the option of going to, say, a IOTA or any other data service provider.
They can always go, but I feel that, you know, it will be like, if they are coming to me for some service, they may as well use my other services also.
Okay. And madam, the next question was regarding ERP for the mineral sector. Can you shed some light on this?
Yeah, actually, as far as you know, the mineral sector is concerned, you are aware that we are auctioning the mineral blocks, and most of the mined minerals also, especially the government companies that are mining it, they are also auctioning through our platform. So during this process, we have learned that there are a lot of activities that go pre-auctioning and post-auctioning, there are a lot of activities. So we need to have a wholesome kind of a, you know, the software where, you know, the mined mineral, right from how much mining is happening to actual delivery, the entire system has to be one comprehensive solution. It cannot be just a bidding thing that we are doing. So it is a backward and forward integration for this mined mineral. That is the target that we have. And many of these, you know, the organizations are especially state undertakings. So there also the processes are a little lengthy in terms of, you know, acquiring a software and then integrating with us. So we are ourselves venturing into giving this kind of software to them. We have already done it in the past for one of our clients in Kanak Mines. That is just a billing software. But now we want to enlarge it to a large number of our research mining clients, as also, you know, improving upon the solution that we have already given. And that also we are envisioning that, you know, we will house the entire thing in our infrastructure. So our infrastructure is going to be used. That also will add revenue in the years to come.
Okay. And how will the company make money out of this ERP? So will it be...
It will be a software. It's a software, integrated software. If they are using a part of the entire process from me, they might as well use the entire software. So it's a customized software that we will be giving, and there are various revenue streams whenever we deploy some software and for any client.
So it will be via sale of the software just a service charge?
How they want it. There are various models available. We will have to, you know, speak to the clients and see, figure out as to what is most comfortable for them.
Okay. Thank you so much, madam. My questions are answered.
Thank you very much. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
So thank you. The investors have really shown a lot of interest in the company, as has always been the case. And the questions were very targeted regarding the business. I hope we were able to reply to the queries that the investors had. And thanks for the continued patronage. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.